Let us sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Let me lower that just a little bit, please. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hell incarnate Jesus, our Emmanuel, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hail the hand-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Let us sing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more lessons and sorrows grow, nor thorns and far as the curses bound. Hail, grows the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Matthew 27, beginning in verse 32. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there, and over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now in the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. When it was evening, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where he has laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there you will see me.
For the observance of the Lord's Supper, let us sing number 167. Following this song, we'll have the Lord's Supper, followed by a prayer, followed by the offering. We're going to sing the first three verses of 167. Let us sing.
We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin.
sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, for if they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead?
There are those who are in need to take of the Lord's Supper this time. Will you raise your hands? Will you bow with me, please? Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for sending your Son to die upon the cross, Lord, so that we may have a hope of everlasting life with you. Thank you so much for that sacrifice, and at this time I pray that we remember that sacrifice. Lord, I pray that those who partake of this bread, which represents your body, I pray that they do it in a manner that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have we overlooked anybody?
If you would please bow with me in prayer. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we're thankful for this Lord's Day and this opportunity we have to gather together and to worship you, to praise you, and to partake of this memorial feast. As we continue by taking this fruit of the vine, which represents Christ's blood that was shed on that cross, we ask you to help us to set aside our daily thoughts and cares and to focus on that great sacrifice that's been made for us. Help us to partake that's in a manner that's well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray together. Our great and glorious Father in heaven, the creator of all things that are good, we thank you for all that you've done for mankind, for the guidance that you've given us through your word from the first of creation till now. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we have to gather as a church in your name to study your word, to observe the Lord's Supper, to do these things that you have requested of us. Dear Father, we ask that you would continue with each one of us as we go through our lives to guide us through your word. Dear Father, we ask that you would be with those that are physically ill and need your helping hand. We ask that you especially be with Rusty at this time, that he would be comforted. Dear Father, we ask that you would continue to abide with us, to correct us whenever we've done wrong, to forgive us whenever we ask forgiveness from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are there those who would like to give back? Will you bow with me, please? Dearest, kind, loving, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for our many worldly possessions, and thank you for our great abundance. Lord, I pray that these funds that we collect, I pray that we use these funds in a way that is pleasing to you. I pray that we have authority from you to use these Lord, please be with those who give back. May they do it in a cheerful manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll turn in your songbook to number 157. Number 157, we're going to sing all four verses and then the chorus after the fourth verse. Let us sing.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He
number 174. Following this song, we'll have another scripture reading as we think about the King of Kings. Number 174. Let us sing.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. From the grave he arose, dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior.
Timothy 6, beginning in verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in this testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment, abstain and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
In the big book, if you turn to song number 434, 434, we'll sing that song first. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Hebrews 2 and 9 says, but we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth verses, if I remember.
No soul, all hail the power of Jesus' name.
Change the key on that and get it within range.
Psalm number 15 out of the book. Psalm number 15. Exalted. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. All three verses are this.
No.
Psalms 93 and verse 1.
If you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, I'd like for us to end our time together by looking at a scripture there in Revelation chapter 19. Thank you to the men that have led us in our service this morning. Thank you, Joe, for putting this together. It is powerful for us to think about the significance of Christ coming into this world for the purpose of atoning for our sins, for the purpose of offering himself as a sacrifice. But as we have noticed in our songs and in our scripture reading so far this morning, this coming was a sacrifice, but this was not a defeat in his offering of himself upon the cross, his death on our behalf. He offered himself for us. You know, we look at those that would run into a burning building to rescue someone. We look at those who would risk their life to save someone else. And we recognize that that's what Christ did for us. We may not have fully understood the need for that. We may not have understood why it is that that had to happen. But we must recognize that that is what Jesus did on our behalf. And in so doing, Scripture describes the fact that he now is exalted. He now is put in a position in which he is greater than all. He has all authority. And one day, those of us who serve him as king, who are a part of his kingdom, that kingdom will be delivered over to God the Father following the resurrection. I would like us to look in Revelation chapter 19 at what is admittedly some figurative language. It's a language which describes Jesus Christ in a beautiful way. And it culminates with a statement that we've been talking about near the end of our time together. Let's begin in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We notice as we look at this very figurative language, it becomes very clear early on who this is talking about when it describes the one that is described there in verse 11 as faithful and true, one who judges and makes war. We understand that this is not the kind of military physical warfare that we might imagine, but it is that spiritual warfare that New Testament writers so often describe. As it describes his head being covered with many crowns, as it describes the name that he is given and the clothes that he wears, when we see that it is something dipped in blood, we begin to see this is that one that shed his blood on our behalf. And as if we had any question left at the end of verse 13, when it says that his name is called the Word of God, it is in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 that Jesus is identified with this very designation. He is the Word, John 1 verse 14, that was manifested in the flesh. So we're talking about Jesus here, the one who leads these spiritual armies of heaven, those who are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we understand, the Scripture will teach later on in Revelation and elsewhere, that it's not that they clean that linen themselves. It is washed in the blood of the Lamb and made clean as a result. Verse 15, when it describes what comes forth from his mouth, you know, we might look at this and imagine, well, that's an odd kind of image, a sword coming forth from his mouth, until we recognize that Hebrews and other places will describe the sword of the Spirit, or that double-edged sword, as the Word of God. And so that which Jesus teaches is that sharp sword with which, notice the way it's put there, he
He can strike the nations. He rules over them, not with physical conquest, but with his word and with what he teaches. But as we've noticed in the last part of our song service today, he is that one which was born into this world. He is that one which shed his blood, dipped his robe in that blood as it's figuratively described here. He laid down his life on our behalf, but having done so, that exalted him to this position in which he now rules the nations with a rod of iron. He now leads the armies of heaven as they are in white linen, riding upon white horses. But notice verse 16. Who is he? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, that is a beautiful phrase, and so many songs have utilized that in their wording. But we must do more than that in recognizing that in speaking of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it means that he's exalted above all. It means in our heart and in our life, we don't exalt our will and our way and our wisdom and our judgment above the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we submit to him and recognize he will rule us. He will rule us by that sword of his mouth, his word that comes forth. If he is Lord of Lords, it means we don't submit to another master, whether it be the master of sin, whether it be the master of fear, whether it be the master of whatever it may be in our life that would exalt itself above Jesus. We must yield to him. If you're here this morning and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you may not realize it, but you, as a result of your sin, stand separated from God because of that. You have exalted something else over the King of Kings. Maybe it's your desires. Maybe it's what you want to do. Maybe it's the way you want to fit in with the world. But you need to recognize that that one that rides on that white horse, that one that leads the armies of heaven, will one day be your judge. I urge you, before that day comes and your choices and your options are exhausted, that today you put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God and be baptized into Christ, by which our sins are washed away. We put on those white garments of righteousness. We follow in that army of Christ. If as a child of God, maybe you started out well, but you find yourself fighting on the wrong side these days, would you not use the privilege that the patience of God has granted to you to repent of that? And if we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Come.
Let's sing one more verse, number 441, number 441. Let's sing the first verse song. Christ liveth in me. Let the story of Jesus Christ dwell in you and share it with those about us that they might too know the joys of being a Christian. After this verse, we'll be dismissed in prayer. 441, let us sing. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light I found, now Christ liveth in me.